All right. Hey, Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. Happy birthday to a friend of mine out there. It's 20 March 2024. And I'm talking about the subject that I'm known for, I guess. I talk about the Jews. Why do I talk about the Jews? Because the Bible talks about the Jews. Why do I talk about the Jews? Because Jesus talked about the Jews. Why do I talk about the Jews? Because the Gospel of John talks about the Jews. Why do I talk about the Jews? Because the book of Esther talks about, it speaks of Jews like 60 times. The book of Acts talks about Jews over 80 times. Jews are not the friends of God. Jews are not the friends of Jesus Christ. Jews are not the children of God. Jesus Christ said they're the children of the devil. It's just like Cain. Cain was of the evil one. Cain was of the evil one, the Bible says, and he murdered his brother. Doeg, the Edomite, was of the evil one. And he murdered the priests. And he murdered the city of the priests. He sided with an earthly power and he murdered the priests. The Jews of the book of Esther make no reference whatsoever to God in the book of Esther. Oh, it's their great holy book. Yes, it is their holy book. It's the book they like in the Bible. There's no mention of God in the entire book of Esther. There's no mention of the patriarchs. There's no mention of the law. There's no mention of Moses. They set up a whole new holiday that has nothing to do with the holidays, with the festivals that Moses set up. They set it up to Purim, to chance. And it's an eternal holiday for the Jews, who are for the Jews, by the Jews, and of the Jews. It's got nothing to do with the law of God or God's law or the prophets or the patriarchs or God himself. It's a completely self-absorbed nation at that point in the book of Esther that have disavowed the patriarchs, disavowed Moses, disavowed the law, disavowed Jesus Christ, who's the God of the patriarchs. Gospel according to St. John speaks of Jews, 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 Jews. Doesn't talk about Pharisees, it talks about other Jews. Jesus Christ, he looks at the Jews, he says, you are of your father, the devil. And the Jews turned around and said, no, no, you have a demon. You have a demon. You're demon-possessed. You cast out devils by Beelzebul. So in the Gospel according to St. John, you have the perfect example of what's going on at Genesis 3:15, where there's enmity. Enmity means a hatred unto death. Where there's a hatred unto death between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Who's the seed of the woman? It's Jesus Christ. Who's the seed of the serpent? It's the Jews. According to Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God. And so in the book of John, in the Gospel according to St. John, the Jews are calling Jesus demon-possessed and full of Beelzebul. And Jesus looks to them, he says, you're trying to kill me, you're trying to kill me, you're trying to kill me, you're trying to kill me. Jesus says to the Jews, it's funny how the Jews these days have got half the church convinced, no, probably all the church convinced that the Jews didn't kill Jesus, it was somebody else. And Jesus keeps looking at the Jews, and he says, why are you trying to kill me? You're trying to kill me. Even in front of Pilate, Pilate three times, he says, I find no guilt in this man. Three times Pilate says, the European man says, I find no guilt in this man at all. And Jesus looks at him, he says, listen, he says, those that turn me over to you, they're the ones with the greater guilt. If there's any dispute whatsoever on who is responsible for the murder of Jesus Christ, Jesus settled it right there. He gave Pilate a pass, not a complete pass. He says, the people that turn me over to you have the greater sin. And the church will run from it. The Jews have made a law. They've made a rule that you can't blame Jews for anything. That's their law. There's this thing called the International Holocaust Memorial Association. Anyway, it's a Jew organization for Jews. And they've taken upon themselves to define anti-Semitism as basically anything that they don't like. Anything that puts them in a bad light. Unfortunately, many government agencies, including the U.S. Department of State, have taken it upon themselves to just do whatever the Jews have said that they can do. And many states, I don't know, 30, 40 states, have identified the same definition of anti-Semitism, which is anything that the Jews don't like. And it's codified. One of the things that is, you can't blame Jews for the death of Jesus Christ. You can't do that. And so you've got these churches that will basically disavow Jesus Christ, disavow the Holy Scriptures in order to stay in right standing with the Antichrist Jew. And I wish this was a minor theological point. It's not a minor theological point. It's not. The consistent enemies of Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ is the Jew. Gospel according to St. John, Book of Acts, and you carry it right over into the book of Revelation, and it starts in the book of Genesis, seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. Jews are the seed of the serpent. Jesus said, you're the children of the devil. Well, that's the seed of the serpent. It's sad because it's so obvious. Once you get into the scriptures, it's so obvious. I've got a couple new articles up at bloodandfaith.com. And nothing that I write is extraordinarily long. I'm good. I'm a master of a thousand word essay. 800 to 1,200 years, that's my comfort zone. And frequently much shorter. I've got a couple articles that are much shorter today. And one of them is, where do the Jews go? Bible makes it clear that the 12 tribes didn't disappear. You hear about the lost 12 tribes or the lost tribes of Israel? They didn't disappear. They did not disappear. James 1:1 says, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. The time that James wrote that, he was writing to all 12 tribes that were dispersed. Well, let's look it up. Dispersed abroad. I believe it says abroad. You know what abroad means? It means they're over somewhere over there. It doesn't mean they're to the 12 tribes that are all gathered around me. To the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. Over the ocean, over the sea. That's why when you went to Europe, you got on a boat and you went to Europe. You couldn't go to Europe. Well, you go north. Anatolia was European colonies. But to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. Where'd they go? They went to Europe. Got a whole article up there at bloodandfaith.com about how the 12, biblically speaking, the 12 tribes go to Europe. Bloodandfaith.com, just go there. The 12 tribes went to Europe. All right, what color was Jesus Christ? Was he a little brown guy? I'm going to say he's not. I'm saying he looked like his father David. That's just a little bonus question in there. What did Jesus Christ look like? I heard a preacher once say, I'm so glad the Bible doesn't say what Jesus Christ looked like. Otherwise, he might freak us all out. Well, it gives us some hints. And I'm not going after extra biblical sources. The Bible's got some hints. The Bible says what David looked like. He said he had ruddy skin. In other words, he was white. Ruddy skin is skin that blushes. You ever know a guy named Ruddy? I knew a guy named, his name was Mike, his last name was Ruddy. Well, he had ruddy skin. All right? He's from Northwestern Europe. Ruddy. He can blush. Get that red coming through in your cheeks. Beautiful blush. And he said he had beautiful eyes. 80% of the world's population has brown eyes. Nothing wrong with brown eyes. I love those big, beautiful brown eyes. But when the Bible says he had beautiful eyes, it distinguishes those eyes from everybody else's eyes. What made them uniquely beautiful? His eyebrows? Huh. His nose? His cheekbones? No, it's just his eyes and eyes themselves. The eyes themselves were beautiful. It would be hard pressed for somebody to make the case that I think it's easy to say that he probably had his eyes were not average. I'll just put it that way. Clearly, his eyes were not average. If his eyes were average, why would the Bible have gone out of its way to say he had beautiful eyes? He had uniquely beautiful eyes, and we'll leave it there. And he had ruddy skin. All right. All we know about Jesus Christ is he's called the Son of David. The father of Jesus Christ was God the Father, and no man has seen the Father, so I can't really comment on what God the Father looked like. I suspect he so arranged the DNA of Jesus Christ as he saw fit. We know King David was an extraordinarily handsome man. We know Sarah was handsome. We know that the wives of the patriarchs were extraordinarily beautiful people. Abraham was extraordinarily handsome because he was the half-brother to his wife Sarah. Same genetics. Extraordinarily gorgeous and beautiful people. Okay, this race of Hebrews, the sons of, well, it becomes the sons of Isaac. So it becomes the sons of Israel. Well, everybody's beautiful. God loves everybody's beautiful. Listen, you guys got to get over this equality stuff. God's not a God of equality. There's a reason he's God and we're not. We're not equal. Who says we're equal? Satan does that. Satan says that. That was his thing to Eve. Hey, Eve, you can be like God. You can know good and evil. You don't have to listen to Abraham, to Adam. You don't have to listen to God. You don't have to me. We can all be equal. Satan himself tries to raise his throne above the Most High God, to be equal with the Most High God. Equality is from Satan. Do not seek equality. Jesus Christ did not seek equality with God. He humbled himself to the point of obedience, even to death on a cross. Even Jesus Christ didn't seek equality with God the Father. This search for equality that you now hear emanating from the centers of power in the United States and Europe is a demon desire. Of course, they don't mean it. They're liars. They want you to yearn for it so you fight somebody so that somebody else can have rulership over you. I know. I'm done chasing rabbits. Some people are more beautiful than others. Some people are taller than others. Some people are smarter than others. God did not make us equal. Well, the soul of mankind is equal in the sight of God. I don't know that. I don't know that the souls of all men are equal in the sight of God. I don't have a scripture to tag onto that. I don't know that. How can I say that? There's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. Some were created for dishonor. Some were created for honor. I don't know that every soul is equal in the eyes of God. I don't know that. I know that the name of Jesus Christ is the name above all names, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord, both on earth and under the earth and in the heavens. Don't come and lecture me about equality. Oh, we're all the same. No. Uh-uh. God chose a people. He chose a race. He chose the sons of Jacob. He says, you're going to be my people. All right? He put them into slavery for 400 years. He created a past for them. He created a history for them. They had their language, the Hebrew language. He gave them the law. He gave them their God. Jesus Christ was their God. Jesus Christ was the God of Moses. Jesus Christ was the God of the prophets. Jesus Christ was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all saw the Lord. They all saw God. Yet Jesus Christ was clear. No man has seen the Father. Who'd they say? They saw Jesus Christ. All the prophets were Christians. All the patriarchs were Christians. They all saw the Lord. Jesus Christ says, no man has seen the Father. Well, who'd they see? The disciple says, Lord, just show us the Father. It's enough for us. And he says, have I been with you so long you still don't get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They saw Jesus Christ. The prophets saw Jesus Christ. The patriarchs saw Jesus Christ. The patriarchs and the prophets were Christians. And Isaiah prophesied, listen, my people, the time's coming where they're going to be called by a different name. And I'm going to leave the name of y'all as a curse to my chosen ones. His chosen ones are now called Christians. We're Christians. A Jew is the cursed name. Look, this is all in the Bible. Bloodandfaith.com. Great article here. The 12 tribes went to Europe. All right? Here's three verses that demonstrate that the 12 tribes didn't go away. James 1:1, Matthew 15:24, and John 11:52. All right? The 12 tribes did not go away. They went to Europe. How do I know where they went to Europe? I'm so glad you asked. Thank you for asking me. Every scripture written since Christ rose from the dead is written in a European language, Greek. Every epistle written to a geographic location was in Europe or a European colony, such as the epistles to the Galatians. The Galatians were Gauls. They're from northern France and Belgium. Imagine that, an epistle to the Gauls. Y'all's ancestors, my ancestors. Every reference to Asia in the Bible refers to a region of Anatolia, which is now what you would call Western Turkey, Central and Western Turkey. Okay, it was all colonized by Europeans at that time. Now we think of Turkey as a bunch of Muslims, which it is, but it took them another 1,000 years to conquer that Christian land. Let's not let them capture anymore. All the epistles are written to European churches. Every letter to the seven churches in the book of Revelation is written to a European church. Every letter written to the European churches, written to the churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches, they're all European churches, every one of them, every one of those cities, Philadelphia, Smyrna, Laodicea. These are European cities. They're colonies of Greece and Rome. Jesus Christ ceased speaking Arabic upon his ascension into heaven. All right? Jesus Christ is crucified. He rises from the dead. He sees the disciples many times. He goes to heaven. Next thing you know, he's speaking to John in the book of Revelation. And what does he speak? He speaks Greek. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Why Greek letters? He could have said, I'm the Aleph and the Toph. He could have been speaking to John in Hebrew. No, he's speaking to him in Greek. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the source and origin of all things, and I'm the purpose and destiny of all things. He could have said that. I'm the beginning of everything, and I'm the end of everything. No, he chose explicitly Greek letters. Not Hebrew letters, not Aramaic letters, Greek letters, European letters. Why? We'll get there in a minute. There is no epistle to the church in Jerusalem. Hello. There's a church to the Gauls. There's a letter. There's an epistle to the Gauls, the church in Galatia. It's a letter to the Gauls. There's a letter to the Romans. There's a letter to the Corinthians. These are letters to European churches. There is no letter to the church in Jerusalem. There is no letter to the church in Jerusalem. There is no letter to the church in Judea or Samaria. There is no epistle to the Africans. There is no epistle to the Indians. There is no epistle to the Chinese. Where did the 12 tribes go? They went to Europe. They went to Europe. Who becomes Christendom? Hello, the European peoples do. Where do the 12 tribes go? They go to Europe. What happens to Europe? Europe becomes Christendom. Y'all are waiting for these little Antichrist Jews to convert, and they're not going to convert. The sons of Israel converted to Jesus Christ as Europe converted and became Christendom. The gospel was sent to Europe because that's where the sons of Israel went. The gospel of Jesus Christ went to Europe because that's where the sons of Israel went. Jesus Christ, he looks at the Samaritan woman who was not of a biologic of Israel. She's a double minority with a special needs child, got a demon-possessed daughter, and Jesus Christ wouldn't even talk. I didn't come for y'all. I didn't come for you. I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's all I came from. That's who I came from. I didn't come for you. I don't care about your demon-possessed daughter. It's not good to give the children's food to the dogs. You're a dog, woman. Jesus Christ called her a dog. Imagine that. Imagine a preacher calling a double minority with special needs child a dog. Be written up on the front page of a local newspaper. Hello. Racist, sexist. I'm sure there's other special names out there for people that get down on people with special needs. I mean, come on, people. It's right there in the Bible. A Samaritan woman, Canaanite, Samaria, whatever she was not a biologic from Israel. She's pleading for help. Jesus said, don't even talk to me, woman. Don't even talk to me. It's not good to take the children's bread, the children's food, and give it to a dog like you. Jesus Christ said this. So don't ever tell me that you can't be racist or whatever. Don't even give me those little demon-inspired words. Magic words, words of magic and condemnation and guilt that people don't need to have. So the woman, the minority woman, agreed with Jesus Christ. She said, yeah, you're right. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I am. Truly, I am. I am a dog. You never heard this. You never heard this out of your pastor? You never heard this out of your preacher? Imagine that. And she said, you know, it's, but even the dogs, they get scraps from the master's table. Wow, those were choice words. And Jesus looks at her and he says, yeah, all right, we can do that. He threw her a scrap. He threw the dog a scrap. Jesus Christ threw a scrap to the dog. I'm just saying what the book says. I'm just saying what the book says. You don't have to like it, but I have to preach it. These 12 tribes that go to Europe, Europe becomes Christendom. 12 tribes convert to Jesus Christ. Christendom. King David. Ruddy skin and beautiful eyes. These modern Jews are identity thieves and they're frauds. They claim to be something that they're not. They're just like Cain who murdered his brother. And the modern Jews seek to exterminate the children of God, the white and Christian race. They're open about it in their literature. They're open about it in their books. Their Talmud talks about murdering anybody that's not a Jew. They're the children of the devil. They're the children of Satan. And the church has sided with the synagogue of Satan. Ain't going to have morning again in America until we wake up and realize this, church. I've said many times, until the church wakes up, there is no making America great again. Or Australia or New Zealand or all the white nations, Europe. We're trapped under the boot of the Antichrist, who goes by the worshipful name of Jews, worshipful in their own mind. And they've made laws all over the lands of Christendom that you can't criticize the Jew. And you can't say what the scripture says in regard to the Jew. You can't. It's anti-Semitic. It's against the law in many nations. It's against the law in many states here. And in fact, most of the states have laws saying you can't criticize a Jew, and effectively you can't say what the Bible says about Jews. They took the definition of anti-Semitism from the Jews, irrespective of the First Amendment. The laws are still on the books. And if you don't haven't figured this out yet, the federal government will enforce and prosecute whatever they so feel like prosecuting. There is no exception for the right to keep and bear arms, publicly bear arms. And, oh boy, but you get all kinds of states that find limits on that. Right now, we're arguing before the Supreme Court. Well, does the federal government have the right to suppress people's opinions? And the federal government said, yes, we have an absolute right to suppress people's opinions on social media. And the president's already there. I mean, this is where they're going. The Bible is illegal in the minds of the Jews. I'm telling you, the Bible's illegal in the minds of Jews. John 8:44, 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, and that's just the start of it. The Jews murdered Jesus Christ. Saying that is against the law in probably 30 states. Will they prosecute me for it? Not yet, but the day will come. That's why I keep warning the church. I keep warning the church. Y'all are sitting on the sidelines thinking that because the Jews love you, you're okay. If the Jews love you, you're doing it wrong. If the Jews love you, you're doing it wrong. If the Jews love you, Pastor, you're doing it wrong. I challenge you. I bet my life on this. The Jews hated Jesus Christ. Why do they love you? The Jews hated Jesus Christ. Why do they love you? The Jews hated Stephen. Why do they love you? The Jews hated Paul after he converted. Paul hated the Christians, hated their guts, hated the preachers, advocated their murder. Yet he was so self-righteous, he'd had other people murder them for him. Once he converted, They sought to kill Paul. Why do the Jews love you, Pastor? Man, look in the mirror and wake up before you die and go to the judgment day. And Jesus Christ said, why do the Jews love you and they murdered me? Wake up before you go to the judgment day and stand before Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ looked at you and said, excuse me, let me get this straight. The Jews loved you? They called you righteous among the Gentiles? The Jews said you were a good man, a good Christian, a good preacher? The Jews didn't try to murder you? What the hell's wrong with you, preacher? What in the hell is wrong with you if the Jews haven't tried to murder you? Jesus Christ looking at you, he says, they murdered me. They murdered Stephen. The same spirit, same race. They tried to murder Jeremiah. Murdered righteous Zechariah between the porch and the altar. And you're too damn good. You're better than me. You're more righteous than me, says Jesus Christ to the preacher. You think you're something special because the Jews love you and they murdered my prophets and the apostles, and they sawed my witnesses in two, Hebrews 11:38, and they love you? What in the hell is wrong with you, preacher? I'm going to assign you a place with the hypocrites. You know who the hypocrites are? You know who they are. They're the Jews. Wake up before you go to your judgment day. If you're siding with the Jews, you've sided with Judas Iscariot. I'm dead serious about this. If the Jews don't hate your guts, you're doing it wrong. If I'm not reading the Bible, tell me so. I'm simply telling you what's in the Holy Scriptures. I'm telling you what's in the Bible. Which one of the apostles did the Jews love? Because they're trying to bring Jewish-Christian relationships to another level. Jesus Christ kept looking at the Jews. You're trying to kill me. You're trying to kill me. Why are you trying to kill me? Why are you trying to kill me? Jesus looks at the Jews. He says, your father's the devil. The Jews look at Jesus and they say, you're demon possessed and you're doing these things by Beelzebul. Jesus says, your father is the devil. The Jews say, no, our father's God. Your father's Beelzebul. You're demon possessed. Your father's a Samaritan. The Jews blaspheme the Holy Spirit on two counts. One, in the parentage of Jesus Christ. And two, on the power which he had to cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead. They committed the unpardonable sin. And you think you're a good Christian because you side with the Jews. No, I'm warning you. I'm telling you. All right, that's enough. Listen, let me just tell you this. I'm just starting. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.